COC, how are you today? You doing okay? Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies in the house. And on Mother's Day, we like to recognize all women here because we recognize that today is a special day for all of you. So we have a gift for you today. If you are a lady, mama or not, we have somebody that will be passing those out to you as you leave today. And we also have a photo booth that you, because your husbands love to take pictures. Can I get an amen? Yes, and so do your kids, but we do. Right outside, there is a couple photo booths that will be taking pictures for you guys. And make sure you stop by there for a few minutes and grab that photo today for and capture today and take it with you. Mother's Day is a very special day. I have an incredible mom. She's not here. She can't stand hearing me preach twice in 1 week, so she just comes to one service. But anyway, I wanted to just share a few things about what my mama taught me in my years. So if you don't mind, is that cool today? Awesome. All right, let me see if I can crack the code on this. 15 reasons I love my mama. Number one, my mama taught me to appreciate a job well done. When she said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside because I just finished cleaning. Moms, feel free to shout hallelujah, amen, wave a hanky, whatever. My mama taught me about religion when she said, you better pray your spilt chocolate milk will come out of my carpet. My mama taught me about time travel when she said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mama taught me about logic when she said, because I said so, that's why. Yeah? My mama taught me about foresight when she said, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mama taught me about irony when she said, keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. How many ever heard that one? I heard that one. Yeah. My mama taught me about stamina when she said, you're going to sit there until all those onions, peppers, and tomatoes in your meatloaf are gone. I stood up and I standed off on that one for like 2 weeks. I sat at the table. My mama taught me about the weather when she said, your room looks like a tornado hit it. My mama taught me about hypocrisy when she said, if I told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. Yeah, let that one sink in, some of you that are a little slow today. My mama taught me about the circle of life when she said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world. Yeah? My mama taught me about behavior modification when she said, stop acting like your father. My mama taught me about envy when she said, there are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. Number 13, my mama taught me about anticipation when she said, just wait until your dad gets home. Anybody hear that one before? Yeah, yeah. My mama taught me about wisdom when she said, when you get to be my age, you'll understand. My mama taught me about justice when she said, one day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Yeah? All right. My mama, oh, that's number 15. Sorry. It was good, right? I mean, we could keep going for a little bit. It's all right. So we have an exciting morning planned for you. Last year, we did something like this called When Strong Mamas Feel Weak, and we had our pastor's wives that came out, and we did a little bit of a panel just so you could hear their hearts about mothering, about being a woman of God, and we got some great feedback. I don't know, were you here last year? Did you enjoy that last year? Awesome. So by popular demand, we've decided to do it back again, and we're just kind of remixing it. So When Strong Mamas Feel Weak 2.0, we got some new questions for you, but we're very excited to welcome back to the stage the Church of Celebration pastors' wives, would you please give a warm round of applause for Ginger Barrett? You look good. Misty Balgard. Yvette Lincoln. And Erica Gores. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you. Ladies, you doing all right? Excited? Do you guys not want to talk at all?
No.
Oh, okay. Ginger said, you can invite me out every year, just don't ever make me teach again on a Sunday, which I did on Mother's Day. By the way, that's not really a good idea to ask your wife on Mother's Day to teach.
No.
She didn't enjoy that too much, even though she did a tremendous job. I found that funny. Nobody else did. I appreciate that. Back to some my mama taught me, so if you don't start laughing a little bit. Very excited. So let's start here, because we do have a lot of new faces that are in the audience today. Why don't you, in a very short period of time, briefly tell us about yourself, tell us about your family growing up, and your family now. All right? We'll start over here, Miss Erica.
Is this on?
Yes.
My name is Erica Gores. I'm married to Pastor Ben, who's the family life pastor here. I grew up in a tiny town in Wisconsin. My parents are still married. I have one sister who's 4 years younger than me. And grew up in a Christian home, really taught in an amazing way about grace. My parents showed us a ton of grace and love. And so feel very fortunate to have that foundation because I know a lot of people that don't. And I met Ben when I was 18 years old, and we have been together ever since. And we have two kids. Micah is 9 and Savannah is 7.
Awesome.
My name is...
All right. You can clap, but if you want to hear more from them, stop clapping. All right, we'll clap at the end.
My name is Misty Balgard, thank you. And I am, thank you, that would probably be my husband over there. I am, yeah, hopefully. I'm married to Matt Balgard. he's executive pastor here and also leads worship once in a while. And I grew up in a Christian home as well. I have to be careful what I say because my mom said she's going to watch it online later.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, oh, no. I had one brother. He's 8 years older than me, so I kind of felt like an only child. And we tried to go to church every Sunday, but it didn't always work out. And so growing up, I just... you know, wasn't completely sold on the fact that you had to go to the church all the time. And so it's been fun now that we have three kids. I have a 15-year-old daughter. I have a 13-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son to be able to share church with them, you know, and just do this as a family is super awesome. And, yeah, I have my parents are still married. They've been married for 25 years. Off and on. I have an interesting background there, but and they've just always been, you know, we always have struggles, but pointing me to Jesus no matter what, so I'm super thankful for that.
Cool.
Good morning. My name is Ginger Barrett, and I'm married to this handsome fella right here. So I was raised as well in a wonderful, godly home, so thankful. We were always at church. My parents, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night visitation, Wednesday night prayer meeting. We were there all the time, and I'm so thankful for that because it really instilled a love for church and community. I just remember running, or actually crawling under the pews while they're doing choir practice and all that. So it was just a really awesome, positive experience for me. They've always taught me just how to love the Lord, which I'm very thankful for. And then I have one brother, and he's 3 years younger, and he actually does a lot of our graphics that you see here at Church Celebration. So he's in Missouri, but he's a super talented guy, very thankful for him. And I met Josh, I was in eighth grade, and we met really young, and we were great friends ever since then. We dated for a long time, and then got married right out of high school. But
no, college.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was kind of in college, like 2 years in. 2 years in, but okay. Anyway. So,
this is your day. My bad.
That's right. So, but we
just didn't want to think like you know, you got your diploma and we went to the church. You know what I'm
saying?
Well,
you know, it was kind of whatever. So, but then it was so awesome because I married into a wonderful, godly family as well. And just Josh and I often talk just about how blessed we are to have families that truly love Jesus and practice that as well. We have three awesome kids, and we have our children through the gift of adoption. We're so thankful for adoption. And we have a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, and then a almost 9-year-old this week. So that's about us.
And my name is Yvette Lincoln, and my husband is the youth pastor here, and I kind of follow along with him and do what he does. So we work side by side and have for years here at COC. We, let's see, I'm the black sheep. I guess I say white sheep to my family, but I'm like, no, we're the white sheep, not the black sheep. We grew up in a Catholic household, although we were not regularly practicing. So I call us the CEOs. We were the Christmas and Easter only Catholics. So we just go Christmas and Easter, get it? Okay. So anyways, so that was our upbringing. My grandmother was the spiritual rock in our home. And so I did have that growing up, which was, I think, a huge, huge part of my life and has brought me to where I'm at today, was because of who she was. And just bringing Christ into the household the way that she did. So, let's see, I'm from Jersey, Puerto Rican. I know most of you know that. that's just kind of how it is. And so we're here and doing our thing. We have six kids total, in our home. And then we have plenty of others I call our kids within the youth ministry. So I forget the numbers now. They just keep multiplying. But we have Matthew, who's 23, Jeshua, who you see here up on stage, leading worship from time to time. He is 19. Jordan, who is almost 16. Nicholas, who is 14. Devin is 13.
We don't have
13.
Time for all of
this. No, I know. And then Talia. Talia is 6. And two of our children are adopted as well. So we have a blended family. And here we are. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That's awesome stuff. All right. So let's jump in, and we'll kind of do this sporadically. Probably won't have every lady answer every question, just so we can get to several of them. But let's just jump in with both feet right now and ask you, so far, what is the best thing about mothering, and what has been the worst thing about mothering?
I would say the best thing about mothering for me has been watching our children develop and grow into the people that God has created them to be, seeing those little things that occur, hearing the, we are so excited about what your son's doing, let me tell you what I've witnessed in him, or let me see what, you know, what Talia has shared. Those to me are the best things. The hardest things are teenagers.
You can clap
what
for that one
happened,
if you like.
Like, y'all have been there at least once, most of us. But I feel like aliens have sometimes kidnapped my children, and I'm like, where'd they go? So, yeah, teenage years have been. So,
you know, you answered that wrong. You should have said, like, the best thing, and then you're just like, so, Ginger, what do you think the worst thing is? And just
pass
the mic
over. So. Yeah, next time. Yeah, same answer.
Anybody else? Ladies.
I would say, kind of like what Yvette said, the best thing is I have a daughter in high school now, and to have her teachers and the staff say, your daughter's just so wonderful, you know, and not that she's perfect, because she will admit that she's not, but just to hear that when they're not under our direct supervision, that they are making some good choices and being kind and being that the person that a lot of her, particularly my high schooler, the one that they will turn to and go to when they need something. So that's been really exciting. The hardest part, I can't decide right now because I have two teenagers, but I also have a 7-year-old boy who's a tornado. So I'm like, I'm either mentally tired or physically tired. There's like no in between. So I think the hardest part is having both of those stages at the same time.
Hello, there we go. I think probably for me the most rewarding or the thing that just grabs my heart the most is when my children, they minister to me. That just absolutely warms my heart. I think, you know, and all three of our kids are so different in how they do that. But, you know, a lot of you know I have a lot of health stuff that goes on. And it's just so, I love when, you know, my 16-year-old son will hold me, you know, when I'm in pain. When I love that, or pray over me. I love when my middle son, who has special needs and is crazy, he's absolutely crazy, but I love how he ministers to me through his worship, and he's nonverbal, but he worships. And I love our daughter, just she ministers, she's just peace. And so that is probably the most rewarding, is how they truly minister to my heart. The most difficult, that's tough, because parenting, I mean, that's the weakest. I just feel weak as a parent in general, as a mom. And I think probably, especially now in the phase of having a teenager, it's tough. I think it's hard being a parent and not their friend all the time. That just is really hard for me, is maintaining that discipline and boundaries, and just that tough love. That's really hard. So that's the difficult part for me.
You want to give it a shot?
Sure.
That's a big question. That's fine. We're all four.
Yeah. So I do not have teenagers yet. So my most
that's
difficult
good.
Answer will be different. But I think for me lately, one of the most rewarding things is there are times where I'll have conversations with our 9-year-old, and at the end, I think, oh my goodness, like, I like you as a person. Like, I don't just love you because you're my son, but, like, you're growing into someone that I'm going to like as an adult, hopefully. I mean, we'll see what the teenage years do. But, you know, so having those moments is really special.
Yeah, you haven't parented a teenager yet.
No, okay. No. And then I think the most difficult thing for me is that it never stops. You know, I think, like, I thought I'd get an amen for that. Like, they always want to be fed. They always need their laundry done. Like, I'll finally sit down, and then it's like, can I have a snack? And I'm like, I was just getting a snack for that one. Like, why didn't you ask when I was up doing that? And so it's easy in those moments to be impatient with them, but they don't really deserve that, and so those are the difficult moments for me.
Don't you just love it? I mean, the raw answers, because so many times these particular ladies get viewed and looked at as if they have it all together, and they don't.
Amen.
No, I meant that in a good way. You know what I'm saying? So. All right, let's do this. All right, so you've all been mamas for a while, and some at different times of your life so far. So one thing that comes to your mind, that if you looked back so far in my parenting years, I would have done this thing differently, or maybe even, you know, what's one thing
you just blew it. You regret the most in how you responded to something. Now we're getting really raw.
You know, this is funny and kind of, but so my middle daughter is, if you know her, her name is Emmy. She is just hysterical, and she's very witty, and she says the funniest things. And I used to post funny things that she said on Facebook and called them Emmyisms because they were a riot. And people would actually text me and said, why haven't you posted an Emmyism? They're so funny. Well, I was doing that, and she started to get old enough where she realized that, you know, oh, mom. And I think she took it as mom's making fun of me on Facebook. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's obviously not how I meant it. I thought it was adorable, but she was kind of embarrassed by it. So I always feel like I wish I would not have done that because I think it, you know, she's one that can roll with the punches and she's fine. But at the same time, I'm like, man, that could have really, you know, hurt her feelings. So it made me really conscious of what I post on social media about anybody, but particularly my kids because they're old enough now to know what that is. So that's something I'd probably do over.
I think for me, well, there's several thinking back, but two in particular. One, I think it's so easy with your kids to transfer your hopes to expectations of them. And I think I'm doing better with that because I'm more aware of that. But especially with the oldest one, because he's our first. And you know, when they're different from you, because your kids aren't going to be just exactly like you. And with adoption, they're really not. So as well. And so I just really hate how I would take my hopes for them and turn that into I expected that of them. And if those expectations were not met, how that would hurt my heart. And how it would affect how I might treat them as well. And so, and that's, you know, that's a great thing even in marriage too, how you hope for something out of your spouse or your kids, but then when it becomes what you expect, it's unrealistic and it's unfair. It's just unfair for everybody. And then the other thing that I'm really working on is quality time with the kids. Not, I can be a little, and I don't want to hear anything from you, okay, for this, but I can be a no amens from you. I can be maybe a little uptight, a little like everything has to be just so. And so, you know, there's a book out, it's called Present versus Perfect is what it is, I believe. And that's really something I've needed to work on. It's okay if the house isn't exactly what it should look like. It's okay if it's just okay to be a mess as long as you're spending great quality time with your kids. So that's a couple things for me.
Well, something that I am actively working on right now, so you can, you know, if you want to hold me accountable, ask me if I'm doing a good job at this.
Don't ever do that.
is letting my kids have their feelings, because I don't always like the feelings that come out of my kids. And the ironic thing, which I did not mention when I was introducing myself, is I'm a therapist, so I should be awesome at this. But there are lots of times where they are frustrated about something that I think is just really dumb to be frustrated about, or they're sad about something that I just am like, really? That is stupid. And I don't say it like that, but my attitude conveys that, because I will say to them, like, stop. Like, that's my response to them. And the funny thing is that's never worked. Like, I have never once said to them, stop, and had them go, oh, I'm sorry, mom. It always escalates. Their response, you know, so maybe they were kind of whiny and then suddenly they're in full down meltdown mode because I said stop. And so something that I've been trying lately, which amazingly works, you know, when I take the advice I would give to people in my office, is to just empathize with their feelings. So if my daughter is having a feeling that I just, in my head, I'm like, this is so ridiculous, I will, instead of saying stop, say, wow, it sounds like you're really sad. And amazingly, she goes, yeah. And then she walks away and she's fine. And so it benefits them, but I really think it's going to benefit me because then I get fewer meltdowns, I'm hoping.
She's raw, man. You can tell she's a therapist. I like her. She therapies like I do with counseling. I like that. All right.
For me, it's probably a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. It's all of it. There's areas, I think, with each child that I think I need to approach differently. And so I'm going to just say it's a gamut of all of what's going on with each child differently. Yeah.
Okay, so there are lots of young ladies that I'm sure that are here today, lots of unmarried young women or middle-aged women that are here today, and part of mothering is partnering with the right person, and I wanted to ask this for those younger ladies that are here today. Why did you choose to marry your husband, and kind of like, you know, what were the attributes that you were looking for, knowing that you were going to be choosing your lifelong partner?
I wasn't actually looking, so I think that I was only 19 when we met, and I was not looking for a husband. And when Matt and I met each other, we met at a camp that he was an intern youth pastor and I was leading worship at. And apparently when he saw me, he said, "What's my wife doing here?" And when I saw him, it was the weirdest thing because people say, you know, and I don't believe that it's always that way because I know a lot of people that didn't like each other before they got married. Yeah, Erica says it's not true as a therapist. She knows that. So, but Matt... I had some relationships before I met Matt that didn't work out, obviously. And when I met Matt, it was like I knew that that's who I was going to marry. But the funny thing is he was completely opposite of everybody else that I had ever had a relationship with. And so thinking back, I'm like, okay, what are those things that he had that the others didn't? And none of it, I mean, it all points back to, you know, he loves Jesus. He is encouraging, he's loving, you know, he always looks good. I mean, that's a good thing as well. But all of that stuff was all stuff that he always points me back to Jesus. And I think that was probably the one thing as we started dating that just kind of drew me in. And if you would ask me that with the other relationships, you know, none of that was even a part of that. So I'd say honestly, you got to know that you're looking for the right things and not the wrong things. That's it's easier said than done, and I know it sounds super simple, but it's very true because, you know, there's things that are fleeting and things that last, and you want to look for those things that last.
Well, I knew at the age of 6 who I was going to marry because God showed me my husband in a dream. So... little did I know I would have to go through some rough patches to get to him first, but I was looking for all the things that I didn't have in previous relationships as well, as Misty said, for me, I wanted a strong leader. I wanted someone who would protect us, who would take care of us, someone who was honest, had integrity and tact. All those characteristics mattered a lot for me growing up. And I didn't have my dad around when I was a kid, so it was super important that I had someone in my life that wanted to be a father and a husband, but wanted to stay and be a father and a husband through everything. Mm-hmm. So that was really important. Obviously loving, and he's good looking. So we have to put that in there, yes. So all those qualities. But he has so much more to him than those things that I felt was what drew me to him. Just his character, he was just an awesome, strong person. And I knew right away when I saw him, like you said, like you just know. And I never had that feeling before until I saw him and met him. Like I knew right away this is going to be the man of my dreams, literally. So, yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I'm looking at Ben, and he wants to hear this answer.
He wants to hear this. All right. Well, so my answer is partially the same as your guys's. Your guys's? Is that a real phrase? I don't know. But it's also a little different, and something that I'm really thankful for is, I don't know if Ben and I were dating at this point. I definitely knew him at this point because it was my freshman year of college, and we met orientation weekend of our freshman year in college. And I did not just know, but I did think he was super cute when I met him. So there was that. But an older woman, I don't even remember how this came up, but she said to me, being in love with someone is a really bad reason to marry them. And I was like, what? That is the whole reason? I mean, I was like 18, you know, like romantic comedies are my favorite kind of movie. And, you know, you'll just know when you know and stuff. And so she and I started talking about it. And she said, there are thousands of people on this earth that you could fall in love with, but that would not make a good life partner for you. And so definitely you should be in love with the person that you marry. But you should also have similar goals in life. You should share a strong spiritual foundation. You should, you know, see their character and know that you can depend on them. And all of these other things that have nothing to do with feelings of love. And I'm so thankful that she said that because that launched me on a journey of, we dated all through college, so all 4 years. And there were some rough patches in there. There were times where we could have broken up. But one of the reasons that we didn't is because Ben is someone who, in those rough patches, wanted to talk about it and work it out and keep growing together and wasn't just like, oh, well, your feelings are stupid, you know, which is like what I'm telling my kids. Oh, my goodness. See, I have, like, realizations when you're talking. But was in it, and I could see that he was in it, which was something that I wanted to know, like 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, are you still going to be in it and wanting to work on it? And so it's like I agree with all the character stuff and loving Jesus, and then also it's like make the decision with your head and not just your heart.
And I love what Erica said, too, because I – oh. You're so cute. Actually, that is what I was going to say. One of the things is he makes me laugh. I mean, he just, and that has been so important in our relationship. I needed somebody to loosen me up a little bit, and he is and was that person. And so I think it's awesome to have somebody who can make you laugh in those dark moments. You know, at first, I might want to punch him, but then I can take the joke after. But, so I love that. But also, you know, what Erica was saying, someone who you know can get through the tough stuff with you. And I will never forget one of the things that really was a light coming on for me with Josh was when we were dating, I knew very early on that I couldn't have children naturally. And that, and just being able to communicate that to him and him loving me in spite of something I could not give to him naturally, because he loves, that's another thing I fell in love with. He loves kids, and you can tell. But I knew because of how he treated me and how he loved me for how God created me, he wasn't going to try to change any of that. I knew that he was going to be there for anything and everything. And so that was kind of a huge deal for me.
Cool. What lots of husbands and, I guess, sorry. Lots of husbands and children that are here today. So if you could be a little selfish in this moment, that's cool. What's the best thing in your mind that your husband or children could do for you to support you as a mama?
Sleep. Sleep.
Really? That's your answer?
Afternoon nap today? Sound good? Yeah.
Yeah, we can take one together. Not a problem. Isaac can watch the other two.
That's the best when you have teenagers that can watch the younger ones. You're like, yes. For me, with Matt, and this is actually one of the things that made me fall in love with him as well, is I have a weird disorder, and there's a lot of stuff that I cannot do, and instead of being irritated or mad, which I know at times he probably has because it is irritating and maddening, he just supports me through it and understands and is just, it pushes me to want to do better because I'm not like, well, he's just going to be upset. You know, he's very, very supportive and willing to help me through it instead of just be irritated about it. So that's probably like one of the biggest gifts that he gives me as my husband.
That was really good. It's a whole lot better than sleep.
I'll take that too.
That's what I need, she says. Yvette.
I think for me is just for my kids to understand that I'm not perfect. Because there are so many times where I think that people in general put their parents or just people of leadership as on a pedestal and forget that we're human and we're not perfect. So forgiveness and just to remember that I'm not perfect. I am going to make mistakes. So love me through it because I love you and we'll just get through it together.
I need to sleep.
Napping is a good thing when you're a mom, yes. So. I would agree with that.
Don't go off therapeutical on me.
Yeah, as long as they don't come wake you up.
But I will say that especially, I feel like, you know, I think that the ages that our kids are, it's called like the golden ages of parenting, where it does feel easier now. Like we're catching our breath before the teenage years. We're less physically exhausted, but we don't have the teenage issues yet. But when I think back to when my kids were toddlers and babies and preschoolers, it was like the biggest thing that Ben could do to support me was letting me leave the house alone. And I know that, you know, that would be stressful for him. Like maybe he would have been at work all day and that would be stressful. But there were times, especially when the kids were really little, that he would come home and I would just be like, I will see you later. And I would just leave and not come back for a couple hours because I just needed that time and that space away. And so the fact that he gave me that was a huge gift, and I know that sometimes he didn't even want to do that, but I would encourage dads to do that. You know, let your wives leave and don't be like, well, when are you coming back? Or don't text them 20 times while they're gone, like, where's the bottle? Where's the diaper? Da, 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 da. It's like, figure it out and just let them have that couple hours. You can do it.
I love it. All right. We're going to have to wrap this up.
Sucks, doesn't it? This has been good. Let me ask this last question, because I think this would be very good for many of mamas or aspiring wannabe mamas soon in the future to grab a hold of, because we do live in a different culture today than what our moms lived in, what our grandmothers lived in. So far, what are some of the things that you have found most challenging to mother in today's culture? And what are some things that you're working on trying to help you navigate through those things?
Well, I always remember not having much as a kid, so my grandmother would always tell me, just count your blessings. Remember the blessings, all the things that you do have, versus the things that you don't have. And I think in society today, I've noticed a lot of, how you say, self-entitlement? Is that the word? Where it's almost a different mentality of, I deserve to have. I deserve to have, I need those, versus, wow, like, I have these things. And that's been one of those things where, for me, it's hard to understand, because I'm like, I didn't have nothing. You guys are spoiled brats. Like, look at all these things you have. So that's where I'm trying to find a way to maneuver through that and be like, okay, I get that's the mentality of today, but just remember that you have been blessed with, like, a lot. You know, remember the little things. Count your blessings.
My challenge is, I'd say Instagram, Snapchat.
Snapcrap,
yeah. As Josh says. No, but honestly, everything our kids do is through those vehicles. I mean, everything. It's incredible. And the challenge is that you want them to have their, you know, privacy and their life, and you want to give them trust, but at the same time, you're trying to protect and guide and all that kind of stuff. And that is probably, like, it feels like my biggest challenge, because I want to be like, before you post anything, you have to send it to me and I have to approve it. Like, you have to sign a waiver, and, you know, because so much happens on there, and so much of the bad stuff happens on there, and so much of the good stuff happens on there. And the challenge is just knowing how tightly to hold on to those things and how much to let go. So I think that just having that open dialogue has been huge. For a while there, I really didn't talk about it, because when they first start on this social media journey, when they become teenagers or whatever, it's easy just to kind of let them be, because you think, you know, they're young, they're innocent. But being upfront and, you know, talking, having open dialogue about it, I think is very helpful. So if you haven't been there yet, start that way. It's harder to go backwards than it is to start in the right direction.
I mean, I think that I agree with Misty so much. Is just, you know, the world, we live in a fallen world, and it just is getting more and more ugly. And I think the fight for purity is just such a struggle with raising kids these days. Is you want to instill what God's word says to them, and you hope that when they get to those teenage years that it sticks. And so what I have just... the only thing that I have found comfort in, really the only thing that has comforted my heart, is prayer. I just, you know, I am in my little prayer hole all the time. And because I'm the type of person, I could worry about everything that my kids are faced with or they're experiencing. And I do. And I do fall to that. But prayer is the only thing that just brings that down, and then I can trust that God will take care of that. But really, the prayer of my heart, especially as we've got a teenager now, is just the prayer of protection, the prayer of reveal. God, reveal what I need to know. Otherwise, just let me trust you. And so that's been a huge thing in my parenting right now. Just pray.
You want to add something?
None of my kids are on social media yet. So, once again, my answer is different. But I do think, for me, the biggest challenge so far is how much earlier they're exposed to things than I feel like I was as a kid. And, you know, the idea, you know, when I was a kid, your parents would have the talk with you. And how much I've realized, like, that's inadequate now. It has to be, like, this constant conversation about, you know, what are you seeing at friends' houses? What are you seeing at school? You know, I can, to a certain extent right now, control what they see in my house, but my son, who's in third grade, has friends with phones, with the internet at school, and I can't control what they show him, which drives me nuts, because I would love... If my kid's friends with your kid, could you put tons of parental controls on your kid's devices? Because, you know, I so want to protect them from all of that. And, you know, I agree, Ginger, with what you said. It's so easy to get, like, worried about it. But at a certain point, you have to do everything that you can do and then trust that God is bigger than all of these things and that he loves them way more than I love them. And so that's when the praying comes in.
Awesome. Have you enjoyed this today? Awesome. Let's give them one more round of applause. We really appreciate it, ladies. Thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day to you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Wow. Take a nap. If you'd open your Bibles, no, I'm not going to preach. Don't worry about that. I just wanted to close with something that I felt was important to do today because I'm sensitive to this particular area, maybe because of who God placed in my life to be my wife, but I realized today that Mother's Day can be very painful as well for many women, and for a myriad of reasons, there's no doubt about that. Mother's Day is definitely for women in general, and for a lot of women, a day that's filled with a lot of mixed emotions. Some of you are not yet married, and you'd like to be. Some of you are on a quest to find the right person, and they've been very hard to find. Some of you have been unable to have children. Some of you are adoptive mamas. Some of you have lost children at birth. Some of you have lost children this year. And Mother's Day is challenging. There's no doubt. And I think it's a day that we celebrate all women, just in general, for who they are to us and our world. There's no doubt. So I just want to close with a gift from me to you, and just some words of writing for all women who are present here today, mama or not. And I hope that you would take these words and they would point you in the right direction today, which is towards Jesus. Because he's the only one that empowers you the ability to understand motherhood if you're not, and encourage you to be a better mama if you are, and to encourage you if you're weary as a mama. So that's what I wanted to do today real quick. The silence is now broken by a new baby's first cry. Celebration of life. The awe, the wonder, and the magnificent why. Jesus is present in your joy and in your smile. New mama, he loves you much, for it was he who gave you that child. The silence that's broken by a mother's heart cry. Precious life has been lost, and you now wonder why. Jesus is present in your pain, in your grief, and in your loss. Dear mama, God loves you. And he felt the same pain watching his son on the cross. The silence is now broken. With joyful cries, children who were homeless now don't have to ask why. Jesus is present, and they now become your own. For he too was adopted and made the world his home. The silence is broken by your own heartfelt cry. Your child is rebelling, and you don't have the reason why. Jesus is with you while they're far, far from home. But remember, he's also with them wherever they may roam. The silence is now broken, and with a heavy heart you cry. Life now without your mom has now left you wondering why. Jesus is with you, and you're not alone in your fears. He will hold you up, and he will catch all your tears. The silence is broken with the new grandbaby's cry. The struggles that came with parenting, you now know why. Jesus is present in your newfound empty nest, and through the pain and joy that comes with that, he will now be your constant rest. The silence is broken with heaven's own cry. all the joy and all the pain, we all now know why. For we will be present with Jesus, and we will see his face, and every woman there will be crowned with beauty and grace. No matter how you may navigate your silence or cries, no matter the reasons, no matter the whys, remember Jesus is with you, dear woman, and he will never leave. So find your joy in his love, and to his glory may you cleave. Let's all stand today and pray. Lord, today I want to pray for anybody here that has maybe never experienced the love of God that is so similar and close to the love of a mother, that maybe today would be a day that something clicked and they realized that you're an amazing and an incredible God. Maybe it's just by looking at their mother and seeing the gift that you gave to them through her that they see how amazing and magnificent you are. And maybe they want a relationship with you. I also want to pray today, Lord, for anybody that's here and maybe struggling with just life in general. I just pray, Lord, that as they heard some incredible ladies today and how many times I heard God and Jesus and those answers, that maybe they found some navigation for their life today and realized that you know, Lord, you really are the best compass. Your word of God is the best map for all of us. And Lord, I just want to pray for every woman that is here today that they would truly and wholeheartedly understand their beauty and their worth. You created them. You made them special. You made them unique. So today, on this Mother's Day, Lord, we just want to celebrate all the women that are here today and thank them for being who they are. I pray that you would be just amazingly blessed today, Lord, at how we take care of someone so special to us or remember someone so special to us on this Mother's Day. We love you. We praise you, Jesus. And in your precious and holy, holy, holy Son's name, and all God's people said, amen. Happy Mama's Day. Let's sing one more song together.